Let's look to the Lord. Father, this morning, once again, we just come to you, Lord. We just want to thank you. We just want to praise you. We just want to worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Join our voices with the multitudes in heaven, Lord. It's forever worshiping you because they see you as you really are, O Lord. We worship you by faith. We just thank you. Thank you for today, for the gift of another day. In the land of the living, Lord, we just thank you. We commit this day and all your people into thy hands, even this time into thy hands. As we look into your word, I pray, Lord, we will labor constantly to be in that position of rest, O Lord, because we know it is finished, it is done. We just thank you, Lord. Speak to us, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in Revelation 5. We'll go through it quickly and wrap up Revelation 5 today. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. So what we are witnessing are scenes in heaven. Okay, that's a revelation. That's why it's a revelation of what's happening there. Okay, now if we remember the background, it's a letter written to encourage everyone who's being persecuted for their faith. Okay. And remember, it's the peak of the Roman Empire. It's persecution of the Christians. And often it looks like, even now, as if it looks hopeless. It seems like evil seems to be triumphing. What is God's plan? Does God have a plan? Okay. And then suddenly you see there is a scroll. There is a scroll, but it is sealed with seven seals, and no one was found worthy to open it. So you see John weeping, okay, because there seems to be no hope that things will get better. Imagine a scroll that is not opened. If the scroll is not opened, we would know very little of what would happen in the future. Okay, the fact that the church has gone through 2,000 years of literally persecution is because the scroll was opened. Okay, because the scroll contains the rest of Revelation. Okay, it is sealed, but you will see somebody is found worthy to open it. In verse 5, the word of God says, "One of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals.'" The heavenly host see him as the Lion of Judah. Okay, while we see him as the lamb that was slain. Okay, this is the contradiction. The lion who is a lamb, and the lamb that is a lion. They are opposites. One is a hunter, the other is a prey. Okay, so the lion and the lamb is an oxymoron. But then so is the all-powerful God who died on a cross. Okay, this is why we struggle. This is why we struggle to we are on a series of understanding the kingdom. Okay, understanding the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Understanding the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is so completely different from the kingdoms of this world. Okay. In the kingdom of God, we understand strength through weakness. Okay, God's strength is hidden in weakness. Okay. His wisdom is hidden in foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 1:25. And then 27. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's a contradiction. And God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Okay? God's way always is the best and the perfect way. And often we understand it only in hindsight. That's why we are called to walk by faith. Okay? The cross was a killer move. God, through Jesus, conquered both sin and Satan and death. Okay? Through the cross. And it was a lion that became a lamb. While the lamb was always a lion. Okay? So if you come back to there and look at verse 5. Okay? Verse 5. Of Revelation 5, 4, 5 is where he is the lion. And in 5 he is the lamb. Okay. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll, to loose its 7 seals." And the next verse will say, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 living creatures, in the midst of the elders, what stood was a lamb, as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Okay? So, we look, and this is our issue. God has a plan. His entire plan was wrapped up in a lamb that was slain. Okay? There is a scroll. The scroll is in God's hands, and always we wonder, does God have a plan? But he has a plan and it is in his hand. Okay? So history is not random. Okay? It is heading to its conclusion which God has ordained. Okay? And we saw verse 1, the scroll is not empty. It is written on both sides, back to back. Okay? There is no space for anything to be written because it's already all written. Okay. In Ephesians 1, in verse 9 and 10. Okay. "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." It's the mystery of his will. And that's a scroll he's holding in his hand. This is according to his will, according to his pleasure, according to his purpose. And he has purposed in himself. That's why we say, who can counsel God? Okay, it's all been planned out by God himself. And it is working out in the fullness of times, like we saw yesterday morning and evening we saw. Time is only for man. Genesis 1:5 is when time is created by God. God creates time and says the evening and the morning was the first day. And time is something for man because God, the Bible says, inhabits eternity. Eternity is a concept we will understand only when we reach there. Now we can only theorize what eternity is. So God tries to use terms like forever. Forever, for eternity. Eternity is forever. It is timelessness. There is no present, past, or future in eternity. But the issue is, time is a blessing for us. It's a blessing for us. Because when God created the heavens, and that is where eternity is, and the angels, they live in eternity. When Satan and one third rebelled, the rebellion was in eternity. There is no going back. It is forever. Okay. But when God created man, he put him in time so that when man fell, he has the option of repenting and turning back because he is caught in time. So every day is a blessing. Every day is a blessing because they can't. The enemy cannot. He can never repent and gone back because he's caught in eternity. Like a joke, a pastor said that in eternity, if you have a headache, it's forever. Okay. Because everything in eternity is forever. The joy and the pleasures at his right hand, they're all forever. Forever. So this is where we see that God has planned all this out, and a person who is in time, is caught in the spirit, is getting a preview of things for which it is to happen. For God, it has happened. Okay, so that is like people will ask, are you a pessimist? And your answer should be always should be say no. Why? Because I have read the book. I've seen the end. Like if you go to a theater, and it's a really tense thriller movie set, and everybody is on the seat of the edge, and you see one guy who's calm, and you ask him, why are you so calm? He says, I've seen the movie before. I guess seen the movie before. So he knows what is to follow. And when the seals are opened, we will see what is to follow. So history is not defined by people who are sitting in seats of power. It's already been defined by God. Things are falling into place. It is all falling into place. The mystery of his will has been made known to us. It's no longer a mystery. It was a mystery, but it's no longer a mystery. It has been made known to us. That's why we saw about the kingdom. The kingdom is a mystery. Okay, the mystery of the kingdom is given to you and not to them. And he's talking to the disciples. And then we see the price for discipleship. Price for discipleship. So even though we are reading this, it was not given to us. It was given to them and through them to us, because the mystery was revealed to them because they were disciples. And we are in so many ways still followers. We are not disciples. So even though we read the mystery that has been revealed through people like them, the fact is that we still do not fully understand it, because we have not come to that point of surrender to understand the mystery of God's will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, there are times he has ordained, he might gather together in one all things of Christ. That's what we see in chapter 5. We see at the center is Christ. At the center is the Lamb. And this was always God's plan, that everything in heaven and on earth would be put together in Christ. Okay? So the good news is that there is a scroll. That means God always had a plan for heaven and earth. And therefore, God also has a plan for every child of his. Every child of his. There's a scroll on earth, in heaven. Sorry, a scroll in heaven and a book on earth. One book on earth. In Hebrews 10 and verse 7. We know these are familiar verses. Says, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will. So something we realize, we have to fulfill purpose. That is his will. But it is found only in one book. In heaven there is a scroll. On earth there is a book. In Jeremiah 29:11, it talks about the plan. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God has a plan for every person. Okay? And in John 16:33, because of what's happening in the world, Jesus says, do not, let your hearts not be troubled. The things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So that's what we see. God is always in control. God has a plan, and God is always in control. And our lives will be in control only when we move according to his plan. Okay, and so many things we feel out of place is because we are out of his plan. Okay, out of his plan. So that is why God says, no, don't worry about all these other things. He says, I am making life very simple for you. Put it in these two platforms. Seek my kingdom. Seek my righteousness. Everything else will follow. So in verse 6 and 7, the question is, are you a pessimist? No, you are not. Why? Because there is the Lamb that was slain. He has seven horns. Complete authority has been given to him. And seven eyes. He has complete knowledge of everything. And the verse 7 says, he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Okay. So we need to understand, appearances can be very, very deceiving. Okay. They are not always as they appear. The lion is actually a lamb. Okay. If you read the entire book of Revelation, Jesus is mentioned as lion only once. He's mentioned as lamb 28 times.
Wow.
Okay. That's where we need to understand. Okay. Because we are so fascinated by the lion, especially after Narnia. Okay. And we want to be lion-like, but the Bible actually tells you something else. What it tells you is that through the book of Revelation, Jesus is portrayed as the lamb that was slain. Okay. And this is our confusion. That's why the kingdom of God is completely different. It looks impossible that the meek will inherit the earth, because it seems like the meek is being pushed around and trampled underfoot on earth. Okay. The battle looks very long and weary. But the thing is that we have seen the end of the story. And it is the Lamb and His saints that are victorious. And we'll always see. God always steps in the last moment. He's waiting for us to give up before He will. Okay. So there is the Lamb. And the Lamb is worthy. And only the Lamb is worthy. And we will find our destiny only in Him. In verse 8, 9, and 10, we see the song that it is. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a gold and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Say, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. We need to realize, the Bible says they sang a new song. You see, new songs can only come from new revelations of Jesus. Okay. New songs are connected with revelation. As we progress in our understanding of God through Jesus Christ, that is what births new songs. So here, they did not sing a new song until He took the scroll from the Father's hands. Okay, so it's a revelation. Who is worthy? And there was no one was found worthy in heaven or earth or below, nobody, until the Lamb stepped forward and took. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. That is the song they are singing. Okay. Revelation 5:12 will show us our future. When we are in heaven, we will also join our voices with all of God's creation. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Then we see another thing in Revelation 5. We will see, the earlier one, where, verse 10, if I'm right. Go to verse 8. Yeah, each of them was having the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, this is the most difficult part of our daily life, to get people to sit down and pray. But in Psalm 141, and verse 2, this is what the Bible says about prayer. Okay, Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me, give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Okay, the prayers of saints are often forgotten. And the cry of saints always has been, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. But what we don't see is that the prayers are like sacred incense in heaven before God and before the Lamb. That is the closest, you remember, if you know the most holy place, the closest to the most holy place was neither the light or the table of showbread. What was closest to the throne room was the altar of incense. And you will see in Revelation 5:8, what is closest over there. You see, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp. And what the 24 elders held was the prayers of the saints of all time. They are there, very right there in the presence of God. So do not underestimate. In 1 Peter 3:12, this is what Peter says. That's why Jesus also says, men ought to always pray and never lose heart. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. Okay, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the ears are open to their prayers. The only thing is that, you know, like somebody said, be careful about putting a time with God because his time doesn't agree with ours. Lord, please do it in a day and he may do it and it may be 1,000 years. Okay, so we have to, that is why God says, do not give up. Keep praying. It's not that your prayers are not unheard. You need to realize the prayers are right there, so close to the throne rooms, and the 24 elders are holding it. But remember, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. So John is being given a glimpse, and probably some of the prayers that was in those bowls were his own prayers. Okay. Here was he. All the other apostles are dead. He's the last man standing. He too has been exiled to an island, and all he does day in and day out is his prayer. And he must be wondering, is there any point? And suddenly he sees there is a point. He sees where the prayer is. So this is where faith comes, okay? Faith comes. We look into this and we realize, you see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Okay, we cannot see, but when we read scripture, we actually see where our prayers are actually. The Bible doesn't say the elders were holding in bowls the sermons of pastors. Okay. It says the prayers of the saints. Okay. But that is what is so much ignored on earth is what is so important in heaven. Okay. So Jesus said, get into your closet and pray in secret, but in heaven it is not in secret. It is right there. It's right there. Okay. So what we are seeing is the reality of the kingdom of God, the Lamb that was slain. Like I said, it is interesting that he's called lion only once. Okay, but he's called the lamb over and over and over. 28 times in the book of Revelation, he is called the lamb. And that is what? And it is the lamb that was slain. Not just the lamb, but the lamb that was slain. In Revelation 14:1. Okay. And behold, I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion. And we would not, it doesn't fit in with our, we want the lion to stand on Mount Zion. Okay. Because the lion always goes and sits on a higher, this thing, no, but it's not a lion. It's a lamb that is standing over there. Okay. So this is the lamb over and over and over. Okay. In Revelation 6:16, even when he gets angry, it is not called the wrath of the lion. Okay? And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the lamb. Okay? It is. In heaven, if you turn into Revelation 15:3, the song they learn to sing is not the song of the lion. It is the song of the lamb. Okay, great and marvelous are your works. Okay. In Revelation 17:14, the overcomers that come with him. Okay? Those who make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and those who are with him. Those who are with him are not with the lion, but again they are with the Lamb. Why this is important? Because nowhere you see him in this description, he being called the lion. He's called the lion. In Revelation 21 and verse 9. 21 and verse 9. Okay. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride. And the bride is called the Lamb's wife. The bride is not a lioness. It's not a lioness. Okay, it's not a lioness. The bride is a Lamb's wife. Okay, in 21:23, is a Lamb that is the light. Okay, it's a Lamb. The city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. So what we are seeing here is the centrality of Christ Jesus. Okay, and he is portrayed through the book of Revelation as the Lamb. Okay, now going back to what we saw on Wash Night Service on Matthew 11 and verse 29, we need to understand what Jesus is trying to tell us. He says, learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly, or meek and lowly in heart. And that's the most difficult part for us, because understand, one thing the enemy cannot replicate is meekness. Cannot replicate is meekness. Even when the word lamb in Revelation 13:11 is used with him, not as a lamb, I saw another beast coming out like the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Okay. This is which we need to understand. This is where the trouble comes, because we sing about the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Judah, but you read all the chapters, 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, is mentioned as lion only once. But he's mentioned as a lamb 28 times. So what is important is meekness. The Bible doesn't say the lion inherits the earth. The Bible says the meek inherit the earth. Okay. And that's where our conflict comes, because we want to react to situations like the lion. The lion never wins at the end. It's a lamb that wins. A lamb that wins. That's why God says, be still, be calm. You don't have to react. Okay, yesterday it was talking about conflict resolution. Okay, we don't have to confront. We don't have to win arguments. We don't have to. Why do we not have to win arguments? Because it's already been won. And it's been won by the lamb, not by the lion. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to defend ourselves. If you defend yourself, I will tell you, God will not be your defender. God will not be your defender. But if you don't defend yourself, God is your defender. Okay, that's why one of the most significant facts of the resurrection is that Jesus post-resurrection was on earth for 40 days and never showed him to anybody except the believers, to his disciples. Because he never had to defend the resurrection. He never had to defend him. He never defended, even post-resurrection, he was still the lamb. He never defended himself. He could have gone and shown himself to the priest, to Pilate, to everybody. See, I rose, but he didn't. Okay, he didn't. Okay, and this is where our issue comes in, because in so many situations, we are not following the kingdom. We are following the kingdoms of this world. That's why God says, seek the kingdom, meaning how does the kingdom function? The kingdom doesn't function in confrontation. The kingdom functions in a completely different way. And it's the way is been shown by Jesus. He's the lamb, and not just the lamb, he was the lamb that was slain. Okay. So God is revealing everything to us. This is. So when the enemy comes in, even if the word lamb is used with him, he has horns. And he's a beast. He's a beast. And he's got horns. And he speaks like a dragon. Okay. So what we see in chapter 5 is the centrality of Christ in God's plan. And therefore, in God's plan, is the centrality of Christ in the church. Okay. If Christ is the centrality of God's plan, so even now, Christ in the church is the centrality of God's plan. But then therefore we learn from Christ, how does Christ deal with situations? Okay, and that's the whole thing. So this is a vision that is given to John when the church was going through a real, real tough time. When the persecution in so many ways was at the highest. Therefore God gives to John a vision of reality. And reality is what is actually happening in heaven. That the future, that our future is in God's hand. It is sealed, therefore it is settled. Nobody can add or change. It is fully written on both sides. And all it needed was one person who overcame to open it and reveal it to us. And that person has revealed it to us. So please understand, the most important lesson we have to learn from chapter 5 of Book of Revelation is be a lamb and not a lion. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 10 to 12, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is working in us, but life in you. You know who is he writing to? He's writing to the lions in the church. It's a Corinthian church. He says, I wish all of you were like me, but he says, you are not. You are not. So he says, if there is life in you, it is because death is working in us. We are like the lamb that was slain. Therefore you are receiving life. Okay. So Paul is putting, it is not very easy. It is not very easy because as that's why the Bible talks about, as iniquity increases, lawlessness increases, only those who endure. Endure in what? Endure in being like the lamb. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Okay, we like verse 35. Okay? And we like verse 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then verse 37 says, but you know, we are in all these things, 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And who is he? The lamb that was? That is where verse 36 comes. What does verse 36 come? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. The question is, you can be killed only once. But all day long. This is a living death, the lamb that was slain. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. Okay? Now, when you say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the whole issue is when we are seeking the kingdom, the entire kingdom in a kingdom, the entire kingdom is a reflection of the king. Okay, like when I talk about that little kingdom, the thing is that it is the king who thought differently at the end. It was not the government, the people or the council. The king said, you know what, let us have a new thing. What is that? Let us have a different index to measure prosperity. Gross national happiness. It's a small country which hardly produces anything. But it's, if you want to go by the movement today, that's the only carbon neutral nation in the whole world. Wow. It's carbon neutral entirely. It's why? Because the king decided that 2/3 of the country will be always under forest cover. Okay? So you look, go into that country, it actually reflects the ethos of the king. That's what a monarchy does. So monarchy does. Okay? And so when you are seeking the kingdom, you need to understand when you are seeking the kingdom of God, we will never understand the kingdom apart from the king. And the revelation of the king in heaven is he is the lamb that was slain. He's the lamb that was slain. So God will show here about us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 19 and then 21 to 23. Again, it tells us, okay, for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. And 21 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us. Who is that? The lamb that was slain. Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. What does it say? If we look at Jesus, he always defended others, but he never defended himself. Never defended himself. And that is the key. That is the key. So please understand, the devil is called a roaring lion, but he was defeated by a lamb. And it takes faith to believe this and live it out. In Revelation 5 verse 10, this is what the Bible says. He has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. It's talking about a future event. In Matthew 5:5, this is what Jesus will say. Okay. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right now it's not theirs. Right now it's in the hands of the proud, the rich, the powerful. But God says, not forever. Forever. Now, if you read Revelation 21 carefully, you will see the kings of the earth brought their glory into that city. So he's talking about the overcomers will be ruling earth even in eternity. This is not, people always think this is only talking about the millennial reign. No. What earth is going to be in the post-millennial reign, we do not know. Only one thing we know, it's a new earth and there is no sea. So if the size of the earth like is the same as today, the landmass is huge. The landmass is huge. Because right now 2/3 of the earth is covered by the sea. It's covered by the sea. But the earth in the new creation, there is no sea. Okay? And the earth seems to be absolutely fully populated. And there are kings. There are kings. And who are the kings? It's the meek. Okay, so when we are talking about the kingdom and seeking first the kingdom, one of the first things Jesus says is to learn of him is to be meek. Learn of me to be meek and lowly. Okay, and then he gives us, because when you are meek and lowly, honestly on earth, you lose. They will push you anywhere you try to be, even in a supermarket, in a queue, you try to make, they will push you and go and this, and you just don't say anything. Anywhere you try, they're always pushing you, okay? And the meekest pushed and pushed and pushed, 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 pushed. But one day there is going to be a reverse. And the reversal is that in eternity, the meek inherit. The meek inherit. So when we are looking at it, when we are reading Revelation, it is the actual picture of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the place, how it is, and the centrality of it is, it's all by a lamb that was slain, the lamb was slain. And Paul will put a cross and says, we are like sheep, all day long we are killed, led for slaughter. Okay, so get that picture. And ask God, Lord, help us to live that picture out. Now we shall have Peter and we shall pray.
He wraps himself in light. In darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice. And trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And always sing, how great, how great is our God. age he stands. And time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will sing, how great is our God, all will sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will sing, how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are
Father, we just thank you, Lord. Truly, Lord, only through the eyes of faith we can see how great our God is. The Lamb that was slain. When Satan tried to ascend, you descended. You stooped, O Lord, to conquer. It's so difficult, Lord. This world, because the world is framed in the opposite.
direction, Lord. But your children are not called to be like the world. We are called to swim against the tide and not with the tide. It is the meek who will inherit. Not the proud, not the violent, not the harsh. It's the meek.
Jesus.
You were the lamb that was slain.
Jesus.
And you were led for the slaughter.
Jesus.
You did not open your mouth.
Jesus.
You didn't defend yourself.
Jesus.
Even when Pilate said, "Are you a king?" You said, "You say so."
Jesus.
You left everything into the hands of your Father.
Jesus.
And teach us too, Lord, to leave everything in the hands of the Father. And do what you have called us to do. This morning, Father, once again, a first Friday morning here, this year, we commit all the dear ones into thy hands. Everyone, Lord. As they fight this good fight, I pray everyone will learn to fight the way the Lamb fought. For you have shown us the way. And only that way is true. Only that way is everlasting. There is no other way that leads to life. Only one way. And you are the way. Therefore I pray, Lord, touch everyone. We know the end of the story.
Thank you, Lord.
We know how it all ends and where we are in the story. Therefore we can thank you by faith without ceasing. Therefore we can give you praise without ceasing, yes. Because we have seen the end.
Yes.
I pray, Father, those who are called especially to stand in the gap, intercede, will see that their prayers are the ones that are closest to God.
Yes.
It's held in the hands of the 24 elders.
Yes.
And rises like incense in God's nostrils. And you said men ought to always pray and never lose heart, because they are not spoken and forgotten. They are spoken on earth, but held in heaven, close to God. And we have a God who hears and a God who answers prayers. So we commit this new year into thy hands, O Lord. New for us, but old for you. You have already seen the end from the beginning and everyone's days through this year. And therefore, we can thank you for this year. We stand here on the fifth day. And we just thank you. We just praise you. We just worship you, Lord. Because you are going with us. You have gone already before us. You have made all those paths for us, Lord. We have to just walk in them, O Father, by faith.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Lord, we praise you.
We thank you for this new year.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
So much is to happen this year. There are elections everywhere this year. Over 60% of the world goes into election mode this
Jesus,
year.
Jesus.
But you already know the result.
Yes, you do.
You already know,
yes, Lord,
the end.
You know the end from the beginning.
You have already determined the course of
Lord,
nations.
Yeah.
And it is all got to do with your Son.
Yes, Lord.
And the coming of the kingdom of God on
yes,
earth.
Lord, yes, Lord. Thank you.
Therefore we praise you. Because the rulers come and rulers go.
Yes,
but there
Lord.
Is one who is forever and ever
thank
on the
Lord.
Throne.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That there is a throne set in heaven and one who sat on it. And there is one in heaven who was found
thank
worthy.
You, thank you, Jesus.
To take the scroll that was in his hand, which was written on both sides.
Thank you.
Everything is written. Everything is determined.
Thank you.
And everything is in the hands of the Lamb. Therefore, we worship the Lamb today. We worship you, Jesus. And we too declare with those tens and thousands of thousands, you are worthy. You are worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor, power and praise. Worthy, 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 worthy,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Be enthroned in the praises of your people, Lord. Be enthroned. Be enthroned today, Lord. In our good times and our bad times, we will praise you. Because the Lamb has prevailed over sin and death and Satan. He has prevailed. And he lives forevermore. And he forever makes intercession for the saints. Oh Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We see the reality of heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Not only are the prayers of the saints like incense before God.
Thank you, Lord.
In the
Thank
midst you, Lord. Is the Lamb who forever makes intercession for the
thank
saints.
You, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh Father, we just thank you.
Jesus.
We just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. I pray there will be an opening of eyes today.
Thank you, Lord.
That people will see the reality of heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
What is true. What is true is not what is on earth. What is true is what is in heaven.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So we just worship you. We just praise you. We just lift you up, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We just lift you. And your people will have peace and rest. Oh, I speak that peace and rest into every heart that is troubled.
Yes, Lord.
My peace
I
live with you, is what you said. We receive that peace by faith. We will walk in that peace through this day, O Lord, giving you glory, honor, power, and praise.
Yes, Lord.
Because the Lamb is worthy.
Amen.
We thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We praise you. Once again, we declare, Lord, in your house, thine
and
is
the kingdom, the power,
and
glory,
the glory,
forever
and ever. Amen.
Amen.